Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God is Real.
Hello and thank you. This is, let's see here. I'm going to deviate from that which is on the page. I will deviate from that which is on the page. Maybe I can get to that statement that is on the page before the end of the program. All right. The United States of America's official motto is clearly stated and leaving nothing implied. It is positive, admitting of no question or modification. It is definite. The motto reads, "In God we trust." The question is, what kind of statement is that? What is the statement, "In God we trust"? We know it's a motto, of course, but I have something else in mind. The motto's foundation is in the principal law book of the Gentiles, the Authorized Version Bible, a.k.a. AVB, Authorized Version Bible. Now, there are those who will mislead you and have you believe the motto is a religious statement, but that is utter nonsense. The motto, like its basis, the AVB, is legal in nature. There is nothing religious about it. We must keep in mind that which I just said. The Bible is a law, but the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version, is a law book through and through. It is in no way a religious book. It is a law book that is opposed to Christianity. And those of you who follow the program, you've heard positive evidence on that matter. It is opposed to Christianity and that which Christianity espouses and advocates, that is, the faith that is concerning Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Okay, so we must keep that in mind. The Bible is a law book, not a religious book in any way. Okay, just because religious people use it does not make it a law book. They use it perversely. Okay? It is not a religious book. And was not intended and is not intended to be used in religion. They just do that. Okay? All right? And they do it unrightly. It's not right what they do in religion, in using the Bible. Okay. In the motto, "In God We Trust," there is a confirmation and an ever-present reminder of that which is laid down in the Gentiles' principal law book, having the designations Authorized Version and Holy Bible. Yet, to get a deeper understanding of the Gentiles' motto, "In God We Trust," it is incumbent upon us to look at and see what the Gentiles' law book says relevant to the motto, "In God we trust." Hear these things which are commanded. And these things are commanded to the Gentiles. Hear these things. One. But before we do that, keep these things in mind. All Gentiles are under this law, and this is a law which I will read, you know, in presenting you with the necessary scriptures and all, which, of course, constitute a circumstantiation of the matter in hand, of the matter at hand. All Gentiles are under this law. This is a statute law. It's not a religious law. You must keep that in mind because the Bible is not a religious book. It is a statute law. This law is a part of the law of faith, which I have been dealing with. Remember the law of faith, a part of it that says, depart from evil, depart from Christianity, do good, and depart from evil, forsake the foolish, and live and go in the way of understanding. Okay. Now, this is the law. First, Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Because the law says, be not faithless, but believing. Okay? We move from one faith to another. We move from an evil substandard faith, that faith which concerns Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, we move from that faith to the real pure faith of faith in God, faith in the living God. Okay? So we move from faith to faith. Have faith in God. And that is also to say, have not faith in the teaching concerning Christ Jesus. Right? Have faith in God. Now, Psalm 146:3 and Proverbs 3:5. Keeping in mind, it's all about, we're talking about the subject at hand, is the Gentiles' motto, the United States of America's motto, "In God we trust." Psalm 146, and I like turning to the scriptures because sometimes miswrite, make a mistake. You might want to intend to write Isaiah, and you put Jeremiah or something. You might intend to write 6:9, whatever. But anyway, Psalm 146, verse 3 says this: put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. All right. I'll say that again. I was distracted here. I want to make sure my phone is on. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. And the other part of that is, seems like I have a shortage. Hold on a moment. Bear with me here. Okay. I believe I'll just hold the phone to my mouth. Okay. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Then we turn to Proverbs 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord. Now that's commandment. Just as the first statement we read, put not to trust in man or in princes. That's a commandment. This is a commandment. And this is all one big commandment. Yet I will read, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Okay. Moving on to Jeremiah 7:4 and Isaiah 26:4. Jeremiah 7:4 says, trust ye not in lying words. And Isaiah 26:4. Isaiah 26:4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever. Trust ye not in lying words. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Have faith in God, but not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Trust in the Lord. Next, Job 35:14. All right. Job 35:14 says, yet judgment is before him, speaking of God. Therefore, trust thou in him. These commandments. Okay. Psalm 4:5. Put your trust in the Lord. Now, for those who do not know, the first statement I read says, have faith in God. What is faith? To have faith in God is to put your trust in God. Okay? All right? That's why we move from the word faith to trust. To trust God is to have faith in God. So they're all one and the same as I'm using them here now. Okay? To trust God is to have faith in God, and to have faith in God is to trust God. All right. So that was put your trust in the Lord, Psalm 37:3. All right, Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So all these statements, all these commandments saying what? Essentially, trust in the Lord, trust God, trust the living God. Because that's God that's being talked about. The Bible only knows one God. That is the the true God, the living God. Okay. All right. Put your trust in the Lord, Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good, Psalm 37:4 and 5. Okay, delight thyself also in the Lord, trust also in him. All these commandments. Psalm 62:8. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Trust in him at all times. Trust in the Lord. Trust him at all times. Okay? That's essentially what these statements are saying, what these commandments are telling us. Okay? Right. That's the law. That's the law of faith in God. The law of faith in God commands the Gentiles to what? Put their trust in God. Have faith in God. Trust in God at all times. Okay? And this is speaking henceforth. Because, of course, God first had to come. Because when these words were written, God was not. He was not on the scene. Now, these commandments can be carried out. Now is the time for the execution and carrying out of this part of the law of faith, which essentially says, trust God. Now, that's the law. I have more statements here. These statements are made in response to the law. Okay. 2 Kings 18:22. All right. 2 Kings 18:22. Says this, we trust in the Lord our God. This is now possible for the Gentiles to do because God is here. God has come and he has revealed himself. I have revealed myself on this program. All right. The living God, the true God. The Lord is the living God. We trust in the Lord our God. There's another one, 1 Timothy 4:10. Turning here, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:10 says this, we trust in the living God. Mm-hmm. All right. And Isaiah 36:7. Isaiah 36:7. We trust in the Lord our God. These three statements. We trust in the Lord our God. We trust in the living God. We trust in the Lord our God. The Gentiles are required to fulfill those three statements. They are required to fulfill the law. All right? The law which says, which commands them to what? Trust God, have faith in God. Yeah. In these statements, the three I just read, the Gentiles confirm, they show an understanding of, and they defer to the word of God. Now hear these things. Psalm 73, 28. Keep in mind the subject at hand is the United States motto, the United States of America's motto, In God We Trust. What kind of statement is it? What is the background of this statement? The background is that of the law. The law of faith in God. The law commanding the Gentiles to have faith in God, to put their trust in God, trust in Him at all times. And now we have these statements. Psalm 73:28. I have put my trust in the Lord God. Can you say that? Can you make that statement? Have you put your trust in the Lord God? The Lord God who has shown you that the way of Christianity is an evil, and he's shown you that the that Christianity has been abolished legally. So I asked the question, why is Christianity still, why does it still exist? Why are there still churches with people in them and ministers in them talking about Jesus when that has been outlawed? And why doesn't the government do anything about it? The governments of the Gentiles just wink their eye at religion. They pretend they don't see it. All right. Okay, I have put my trust in the Lord God. Psalm 71:1. Says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Statement made directly to God. Psalm 56:4. Okay, 56:4. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. Keep in mind the Gentiles. America's motto, in God we trust. In God I will praise his word, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Again I ask, are you trusting God now? Are you trusting the true teaching? Are you trusting that which is taught, that which is true? That which gives good understanding of the crucial matter of Bible content, are you trusting the Lord God Israel? Have you put your trust in him? As you hear him speak on faith, you've heard him speak on faith, saying that the faith concerning Christ Jesus, that which the Christian, that which Christianity espouses and supports and advocates, that it is a vain faith. That faith has been outlawed. That faith has been abolished. That faith concerning the teaching of Jesus as Lord and Savior should have gone out with slavery, should have been outlawed when at the same time slavery was outlawed and the selling and buying of black people was outlawed and the just all of that was happening, the importing, exporting of slaves, black people, the merchandising of black people, pauperization of black people. All of that should have been, these things, along with Christianity and the teaching concerning Christ Jesus, Lord and Savior, should have gone out together. Okay. In God I have put my trust. And Psalm 56:11. Again, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. who is going to bother you because you forsake the faith that is in Christ Jesus? Who is going to do anything against you because you renounce Christianity, because it is found to be evil, it is found to have already been abolished, it exists in rebellion to the law, or in opposition to the law? Will you trust God? Will you trust me? Because I'm the one who's bringing this information to you, giving you understanding of the crucial matter of Bible content, that which no preacher has done before. Okay? In recent times. All right? It hasn't been done. That's why black people don't know the truth of Bible content. Because the information that the preachers give them now, black people, the information that preachers give the black people now, and that black people give to themselves now, that, you know, you have black preachers now and all, is the same thing, the same lies that the slaveholders and wardens of the Gentiles told black people when black people were held in chains and viewed as merchandise. Their humanity was taken away. We must remember these things. You know? We must remember these things. That's a part of my work, to help you remember and keep you in remembrance of these things. Keep you mindful of these things. Keep these things before you. I wish there were a thousand others, you know, doing what I'm doing. We need people teaching this information other than myself. You know, we need this. It's needed. It is very much needed. Now, that about, well, let's stay focused and finish this first. Okay, what do we learn from these things, the things of the law that I just read with regard to the law of faith in God? And what do we learn? The Gentile statements that I read, in God we trust. We trust in the living God. We trust in the Lord our God. We trust in the Lord our God. What do we learn? And from the law, what do we learn? All Gentiles, one, therefore. All Gentiles, Gentile nations, Gentile kingdoms, Gentile principalities, etc., are under the law of faith in God. That is the law of trusting God. All Gentile people and nations are required by the said law to put their trust in God. That is, to put their trust in the living God, the Lord. In the motto, "In God we trust," there is an acknowledgement of coming from the Gentiles of the law of faith in God. There is a confirmation of the law of faith in God. There is a show of understanding of this part of the law of faith. And in the motto, there is a willingness and a readiness to defer to the word of God when the living God is revealed. Okay, so there is quite a bit in that motto of four words, "In God we trust." Now the word "we" in the motto, "In God we trust." Since all Gentiles are under the law of faith in God, and since all Gentiles are required to put their trust in the living God, then the "we" in the United States of America's motto is not limited to only the Gentiles in the United States of America, but it is inclusive henceforth of all Gentiles everywhere, in every country, in every kingdom, in every polity. The United States of America's motto is profound. It is applicable to all Gentiles everywhere and for all time. Its essence is, we all Gentiles everywhere and henceforth trust in the living God. The conclusion of the matter of the United States motto, In God We Trust, is the motto is a legal statement. Its basis is legal. It defers to that which is legal. That's the conclusion. It's a legal statement. It's not a religious statement. It is a legal statement. Of course, the Gentiles will not come forth and tell you that. They still would want you to think that the statement is a religious statement, has no significance whatsoever, because in the eyes of the law, religion has no significance. I don't know whether you've noticed that or not. But in the eyes of the law, religion has no significance. It has no strength, no power. Christianity is without power. It is without strength because it's been stripped. It's been stripped. And it has been condemned. Christianity has been condemned. That's why it has no strength or power. Go into a court of law and say you're a Christian, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, it may sound good, you know, to say this individual is a Christian, blah, blah, blah. But, and the judge acts like he considers it, you know. But anyway, you get the point here. Christianity has no power. It has no legal basis. It has no legal power or strength at all. It has been condemned. It is said to be vain by the law. It is vain, and that which it espouses, supports, and advocates is vain, useless, worthless. That's really something. And as I said earlier, Christianity and that which is espouses, supports, and advocates should have gone out with slavery. Okay. Now, that is the information I have on the United States of America's motto. Bear with me here for a moment. I'm still here, just bear with me. Yes, now I'm back. Okay, I'm here. I haven't gone anywhere. Trying to get resituated here. Okay, that's the information on the hot book. Thank you. talking about the law, of course. Let's see what we have here. Is the statement true or false? Romans 7, 6. Now we are delivered from the law. Is it true or false? Here's another statement I ask. Is it true or false? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In answering the first statement, we are now delivered from the law. Who is the we? Who do you know has been delivered and from or by what law? Or from what law? Who has been delivered from what law? We know this. We know that black people have been delivered from the law of slavery. We know that. It's history. Okay? We, black people, are delivered from the law of slavery, from the law that reduced us to merchandise, as exemplified in Revelation chapter 18, where you see black people are included in a list consisting of things that are bought and sold. That complete statement is libelous. It's libelous against black people. But it's a record. The Bible is a record book. The Bible bears a record of that law that whereby the Gentiles dehumanized black people, took them out of the category of Homo sapiens and put them into a category they created of things that are bought and sold. Isn't that bad? But now, also, let me read this statement. The book of Psalms. Psalm 106 or 107, we'll see which one. Okay. Psalm 106. Listen. Starting with verse 41. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen. They that hated them ruled over them. Now we know. We know. They that hated black people ruled over them. Okay? Just like we know that black people have been delivered from the law that reduced them to things that are bought and sold. Yes. Now then, the statement says we are delivered from the law. Yes, black people are delivered from that law of slavery and all that went along with it. Okay? Because they are delivered from them that hated them. Let me read. And they that hated them rule over them. Their enemies also oppress them. Isn't that what Gentiles have done to black people? These are real things. The Bible is a record book. I keep saying that now. It's a record book. And it is recorded things that have gone on, things that have happened with regard, with special regard to the Gentiles and black people. Okay? Their enemies also, and they are called, the ones who were the rulers are called enemies of those who were ruled. Okay? Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Black people were brought into subjection under the Gentiles. Isn't that something? The Gentiles worldwide became wardens of black people. You know, the the population of Gentiles. You know, because all Gentiles, you know, the question was, how are we going to house all these black people that we capture? The answer was, the population would house them. They would not build jails or, you know, penitentiaries or anything like that to house them in. The population would house the black people. You know, this family may have had five black people as slaves, another plantation or whatever, may have had 100, you know, black people they call slaves or whatever, maybe 200, I don't know, you know. But some had less, some Gentiles had more black people they call slaves. So the Bible talks about a ruler and those who are ruled. It talks about oppressors and those that are oppressed, you know? That's what Bible matter is about. Matter of fact, the judgment that the Bible speaks about is against the Gentiles for things they did to black people. Isn't that something? Now, let me go back to Revelation, because I alluded to this statement. This is good for us to know, because you're not going to get this information from church. If you want the truth, the Bible content, you don't go to church to get it, because you're not going to get it. They don't teach truth of Bible content in church. Yet all of this stuff is there. It's in the Bible. Matter of fact, all the things that I teach are, you know, they come from the Bible. But yet none of the things that I teach are taught in the church world. Does that send out a red flag or something? I mean, what does that say? If you go to my archives, Lawmaster's archives, and well over 100 programs, episodes, there is a lot of information there, all coming from the Bible. And none of it, get that, none of it is taught in the church world. None. That should be startling. That's startling news. I mean, all that that man teaches, not a bit of it is taught in the church world, except one thing maybe, and I started this a few years ago, I know, among black people, the story about Joseph. You know, I raised the question, who sold Joseph into Egypt? Because, you know, the books Gentiles put out, they teach the brothers sold him into Egypt. And, of course, black people, you know, taught also and teach that the brothers sold Joseph into Egypt. But in my reading of the Authorized Version Bible account found in Genesis, I saw that the brothers did not sell Joseph into Egypt. And the eyewitness account in Genesis tells exactly how Joseph got into Egypt, and it was not through the brothers. You may say the brothers conspired. They may have conspired, but they still didn't do it. They were not the cause of Joseph getting into Egypt. I'm not going to go into that, because I'm not dealing with that, but I'm just, you know, showing a point that this is one thing that, you know, some black ministers who I knew back then, some years ago now, that I began to show to them, and some of them, you know, began preaching that. They were excited to find that out. You know, wow, the brothers didn't sell him, and they had the knowledge of who sold him and all like that. You know, I'm pretty sure some of them are still teaching that, you know, because that's sound doctrine. Of course, the story about Joseph is a fictitious story, just like the story of Jesus, you know, fictitious story, but it shows a point, teaches a moral lesson, if you will. So Revelation 18, verses 11 through 13. There you have a list of things bought and sold. Gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, wood, brass, iron, marble, things bought and sold, cinnamon, oil, wine, frankincense, flour and wheat, things bought and sold. And then you see there that word, slaves. Yeah, a picture is worth a thousand words. This statement here, Revelation 18:11 through 13, is a picture. It's a law and a picture. A picture is worth a thousand words. And in the picture, it shows black people listed among things that are bought and sold. That was happening during slavery, the days of slavery, the enslavement era. As I said earlier, where the Gentiles took black people from the category of Homo sapiens and put them in a made-up category of things that are bought and sold. It's made up because, black people are not merchandise. Black people are people. But the Gentiles ripped them of their humanity, robbed them of it, took it away from them, reducing them to things bought and sold. No wonder in the Bible the Gentiles confess, the head speaking for the Gentiles said, I and my people are wicked. No wonder. But the judgment, let me turn to, I said earlier also that the judgment has to do with the Gentiles' enslavement of black people. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. Starting with verse 13. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Now I ask the question, have black people ever been strangers in a land that is not theirs? You have black people right here in America. Now they teach black people in school that the blacks here came from Africa. Okay. Black people here in America, according to history, are in a land that was not originally theirs. Black people in Europe, the UK, Germany, wherever they are in Europe, according to history, are not, they are there by means of the Gentiles' enslavement, captivity of black people, and the Gentiles are, trading of black people. So, that fits black people. Black people, strangers in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And black people not only have been strangers and are strangers in Gentile nations, and we know, of course, according to history, that the Gentiles over here in America took the land from the Indians. They just messed the wall area, everybody. But anyway, black people in a land that is not theirs, and they served them. Black people in America served the Gentiles. Black people in America, as slaves, served their oppressors, the Gentiles. Black people throughout Europe, during the same period of time, served their oppressors, the Gentiles. And shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, slavery was a great affliction. It was. We living really can't understand how terrible it was and how awful and terrible it was for black people. How terrible the oppressor could be against toward somebody. I don't think we can understand that. We may can talk about it, but I don't think we can understand that. It was bad. That's all I can say. It was bad. Black people in the land, not theirs. Now, what about the blacks during the enslavement era? What about the blacks who were in Africa? Well, they were messed over also, because Gentiles would take blacks from this specific area in Africa and move them to another specific area, to another geographical area in the same country. They got us all. Now, but this is just another example of the Bible talking about the enslavement era. Now, it's talked about through and through Bible content, okay? But this point is speaking about the judgment that the Gentiles must carry out, the judgment that the Gentiles must bear according to the law that's in the principal law book of the Gentiles, the Authorized Version Bible, a.k.a. AVB, also called King James Version. Black people have been strangers in a land not theirs. They have served the Gentiles. They have been afflicted. And it says here they shall be afflicted 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve. What nation? Black people serve. They serve the Gentile nation. The Gentiles are one people. Whether they are in America, Europe, Africa, wherever, the Gentiles are one people, one nation, one people. Okay? That nation whom the black people shall serve will judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Now, we didn't come out with great substance. We didn't come out of enslavement with great substance at all. Not at all. Not at all. The point is that nation which speaks about the Gentiles shall bear judgment. They shall receive and bear judgment. That's the point of this statement in Genesis 15, 13, and 14. Okay? Now, even the story, I alluded to Joseph, even the story about Joseph is a story about enslavement. Consider. Okay. Joseph being pulled out of the well, and remember, the story of Joseph in the AVB is a fictitious story. Joseph being pulled out of the well by one group. Okay, first of all, Joseph was despised by his brothers, right? Okay. But we read in Psalm 106 that the black people were despised by their Gentile captors and conquerors and slaveholders and wardens. Okay, so black people were hated by them, just as Joseph in the story here is hated by his brothers. All right, the brothers did something evil to Joseph. Okay, they cast him, put him into a pit, and conspired to tell the father a lie regarding Joseph. They conspired against Joseph. Well, the Gentiles conspired against black people. They conspired first to what? To invade the black people's land, to invade them, to make war with them. The Gentiles conspired to make war with black people. Yes, they did. Okay. The Gentiles, acting as one people, combined their armies, and their armies went forth as one great, huge, humongous army, conquering. Of course, Africa was one country that they conquered. Thus, capturing black people, enslaving black people, etc. So, Joseph, brothers conspired against him. Gentiles conspired against, and they conspired against Joseph to destroy him. Same thing here with the Gentiles, and they're conspiring against black people to destroy them. Now, you can go and look in Lawmaster's archives, and maybe the keyword in the titles would be have something to do with slavery, enslavement, something like that, and you get more information on this, okay? All right. Do that. Check out the archives. Study all the archives. Learn all this information. Okay? So, the brothers conspired. The Gentiles conspired. Joseph was the victim. Black people, in regard to the Gentiles conspiring, became the victims of the Gentiles' evil. As Joseph was the victim of his brother's evil scheming when they put him into the pit. Okay, now, a group came along in the Joseph story and pulled Joseph out of the pit. Okay? That was a delivery, wasn't it? Joseph was delivered from the pit, but that wasn't the end of it. The group that pulled him out of the pit sold him to another group that was going in the direction of Egypt. One group sold Joseph. Gentiles sold black people. The papacy sold black people out to the Gentiles, its people. Okay? Now, that was the evil of the papacy. The papacy and the Gentiles working together. The papacy and the Gentiles scheming, conspiring together against black people. Now we get into the reason why the Christianity has been condemned by the law because of his evil with regard to the Gentiles' enslavement of black people. Okay. So, Joseph was sold to a group going in the direction of Egypt, and that's how he got into Egypt, by this group that bought him. A buying and a selling. Black people were bought and sold. Mm-hmm. And then Joseph gets into Egypt. He becomes a servant of somebody, a servant of Pharaoh, and a servant of somebody there. Just as black people became servants to the Gentiles. So the story of Joseph is a parallel to what happened in real life to black people and what was brought upon them and cast upon them by their captors, the Gentiles. That's what the story of Joseph is about. It's a parallel that as those certain things which I pointed out happened to Joseph, those same things happen in real life to black people as being conspired against, as being destroyed, as being bought and sold, as being servants to another. Okay, as being in a land that was not his. Joseph wasn't born in Egypt. Egypt wasn't Joseph's homeland. No, he wasn't. He was sold into Egypt, just as black people were sold into slavery. So that's it for this episode. Keep in mind that the United States of America's motto is a legal statement. It is not a religious statement. It is a, in that statement, the Gentiles defer to the word of God. The Gentiles acknowledge the law of faith in God. The Gentiles show in that statement the motto and understanding of the law of faith concerning God. Okay? And finally, that as Joseph was conspired against, bought and sold, found to be away from his homeland, find himself in a land not his, being a servant to another, those same things happen to black people. They were servants to the Gentiles. They were sold to the Gentiles by the papacy. The papacy and the Gentiles conspired together for the destruction of black people. Until the next time.